Today's topic is going to be Mincha Maariv. Now, mincha is it's the ultimate structure of what a tefillah is. You know, a tefillah means something lifnei Hashem. This person is going lifnei Hashem to engage the Almighty. That being the case, you've got Ashrei, you need the prelude, you need something that is going to set it up, number one, right? What is Ashrei? Ashrei is the ultimate. We spoke about Psukei D'Zimra when it came to Shachris. Ashrei reflects the ultimate in Psukei D'Zimra, and that being this, that you're relating to God through every aspect of life, from Aleph to Tav. Not just in the miraculous, like the Halal HaMitzri, you know, the Psalms 113 to 119, but you're relating to God in the realm of what? Every aspect, every dimension, physics, chemistry, biology, the weather, you know, through everyday life, from Aleph to Tav. And that, what that does is it prepares a person. You don't just walk into a conversation with God. You don't just walk into a rendezvous. There needs to be a sense of preparation, okay? But it can't be a preparation which, when you get to the davening, you're still thinking about what you were doing before davening. It has to be something that is a prelude, facilitates a proper amida, and that's Ashrei. Then we have the break. Chatzi Kaddish. Chatzi Kaddish, we always said, is a bridge. It's a bridge between one aspect of davening and another. And what is that? From the prelude into the actual rendezvous, the conversation, the dialogue, where man goes lifnei Hashem. And we've spoken about the Amida. We spent a number of lectures on that. Then you have the Tachanun. And we've said, we quoted the Rambam from Hilchos Tefillah, that Tachanun is what? Tachanun is, if I stood face to face with God, you know, who am I to do that? Who am I, you know, to have that intimate face-to-face dialogue using Ata, saying, you? What do? I recoil, I retract. The Rambam says, Miyad hu nirta l'achorav. And we fall on our face. Nefilas apayim. We fall on our face. So it's not so crucial what exactly is being said. It's the physical position. You've gone from a modality of ahava, from intimacy, warmth, love, face to face, to a modality what? Of reverence, of awe, of respect. That is the tachanun. It's part and parcel of the amida. You're not going to have a chatzi kaddish. You're not going to have that half kaddish interrupting, bridging two different components, Amida versus Nefilas Apayim, Amida versus Tachanun. Oh no, it's all one complement. It's all one aspect of the encounter, of the rendezvous, of the engagement with the Almighty. That's why it's the Amida Tachanun, one unit. That's why we said in Halacha, you can't have a hefsek, you can't have an interruption between the Amida and between Nefilas Apayim, the Tachanun. Okay, that is the Amida. That is the Tefillah. And we always end off with Kaddish Tiskabel. What's Kaddish Tiskabel? We ask God to accept our worship. That should have been worthy. Tiskabel Tzloson Uva'uson. Tzloson are the praises, how we've engaged God, related to God. Uva'uson are the petitions, what we've asked of God, how we've expressed our needs and our wants before God. That is always the end of a tefillah service. Now, we have a minhag. We have a custom to say Aleinu afterwards. We end off every tefillah with Aleinu. It's interesting, if you go to the original minhag Ashkenaz, when they would daven Mincha Maariv together, there was no Aleinu after Mincha, because you're going to engage in Maariv, so it's not the end. Mincha has been completed, but it's not the end. It's not like we're walking away, going back from an encounter with the Almighty, back to whatever else we were doing. Oh no. So for that reason, there's no Aleinu there. Most minhagim, meaning probably 95% of the Jews who daven, they will say Aleinu after Mincha, even when Maariv comes immediately afterwards. Because Aleinu is, whether you want to call it the end of a tefillah, you know, it's a sort of a summary of what we stand for, of who we are philosophically, or whether you want to say it's not the end of the tefillah, that was Kaddish Tiskabel. But what? It's our statement as we walk into the world. It's our introduction, you know, having left the rendezvous, having left the face-to-face encounter with the Almighty, it's our introduction back into the other aspect of our life, the other dimension of our life. Either way, either it's a completion of the tefillah or it's an introduction to the next stage. That's Aleinu. Okay. What's Maariv? Maariv is very interesting because the Gemara says tefillas arvis rishus. Now there's a debate. What does that mean, that the Maariv prayer is an option? What does that mean, that it's an option? Well, we see, for instance, there's no chazaras hashatz. There's no repetition. for those who wouldn't know how to daven otherwise. Why? It's because it's not something which is obligatory. In practice, it is obligatory. Why in practice? Because even though it wasn't legislated, the way shacharis and mincha were legislated, keneged the tamid shel shachar, the tamid shel bein arbayim, as we see in the fourth parak of Masechta Brachos, however, there's a minhag. We've adopted it upon ourselves, not because it was legislated by the rabbis, but we've adopted it upon ourselves as a minhag. That's Maariv, okay? What happens at Maariv? So night, and this is the whole crucial piece when it comes to Maariv, night is a different modality. It's a unique, distinct modality of relating to the Almighty from Shacharis. Shacharis is a time of optimism. We have the energy of the morning. You know, we've been rejuvenated, resuscitated from the night's sleep. And it's a time of optimism. It's a time of gula, right? Redemption is always associated with the dawn, always associated with the shining of the sun and the energy of the sun. Night is the opposite. It's a time of, we're tired from the day. But not just that we're tired, it's a time of fear. It's a time of trepidation. Darkness, right? You're not as confident. You're not as optimistic. Darkness is always associated with pessimism, with uncertainty, with a certain tenuous state. And that's reflected in the tefillah. How? Particularly, that's reflected in the brachos of Shema. We mentioned earlier that Shema is the three paragraphs sandwiched by brachos. Brachos that reflect the nature of each and every one of the paragraphs. They turn the theme of the paragraph, which is the paragraphs are philosophical declarations, they're philosophical statements. They take those themes and they communicate them by way of a tefillah, by way of a tefillah to the Almighty. That's what the brachos are. So first and foremost, you're not going to daven as much at night. The tefillah is going to be much shorter, okay? It's not that time of optimism, it's not that time of exuberance. But on the other hand, it's going to reflect the pessimism, it's going to reflect the tenuous state, the gullus, so to speak, the diaspora notion of the night, of the long night of the diaspora. And where do you see that to a great degree? Not so much in the first two brachos. The first two brachos are the same themes as you had in the morning. They're shorter, but they're the same theme. First paragraph is what? The notion that God is the master over the universe, right? The synthesis and the symmetry in the universe. Second paragraph is not talking about a universal relationship to God, that you don't have to be Jewish. That's a human relationship with God. God is the master of the universe. God is unique. God is distinct. God is a complete unity. The oneness of God, all of that is universal. The second paragraph is the parochial. It's the specific relationship that the Jews have with God. Not just the covenant of seven, the seven categories, but the covenant of 613, the system of the Torah, the whole methodology, that whole providential relationship that's a manifestation of the covenant. So we thank God for that. We articulate that special, unique modality of relating to God as a Jew in the second paragraph, okay? But that's not, conceptually, it's not different than what we had in the morning. It's shorter, it's abbreviated, it's not as developed. What about the third? In the morning, it's v'yatziv v'nachon, you feel the optimism there of our conviction, of our sense of God as a goel, as a redeemer. It's a time of redemption, it's a time of optimism. Not so at night. There's emuna. There's conviction and faith that God will help us make it through the night. V'ne'amar ki fada es Yaakov miyad chazak mimenu. What happens? The notion of Yaakov. Why are you associating with Yaakov? Yaakov is the father of the galus. He's the one who embodies his whole story. If you look at the Ramban's development of Sefer Bereishis, Ma'aseh Avosim and Labanim, he is the paradigm for the Jews' experience in the diaspora, the Jews' experience as not in our own land, not in a position of control, but ultimately being afflicted, being tormented, trying to survive and make it through the diaspora, through the darkness of the night. So that illusion you have, and I apologize, I didn't quote it well. Let's just quote from the bracha. Kifada Hashem es Yaakov ugalo miyad chazak mimenu. Look at the context of Yirmiyahu. Even after the Churban, Hashem is going to redeem, not Yisrael, not from the perspective of strength and optimism, Yaakov. And God will ultimately redeem us from those forces that are stronger than us, from those forces of tyranny and oppression. Okay? But what is it, where do you really see it? You see it in Hashkivenu. In the morning, you don't. You just have the bracha Ga'al Yisrael of Geula. But the nature of the Geula at night, as we said, is repeating ourselves, is very different than the nature of Geula in the morning. And therefore, it's what? It's not Mashiach Zeiten. It's not, you know, the Messianic era. It's not, you know, redemption. It's help us make it through the long, dreary night of the Gullus. And that's the next tefillah, Hashkivenu. The Gemara says, Geula Richta. The brach of Ga'al Yisrael is not complete until you have an additional brach of Hashkivenu representing the providential hand of God. God's providence through history as it manifests itself through darkness, through trepidation, through time of uncertainty, through time of oppression and tyranny. And that's it. Help us lie down, Hashem, our God, in peace, and enable us to rise up again. Alive, that we should make it and we should survive. Okay? What does it say? Ufroselenu sukha shlomecha. I want to go on. Vahagain ba'adenu. Vahaser me'elenu oyev. Please remove from us the enemy, the oppressor. Dever. Famine. Cherev, the sword. Rav, hunger. I'm sorry, dever is disease. Yagon, a sense of sorrow. Fahaser Satan Milfaninu Meacharenu. Please remove that adversary that confronts us and that comes from behind. You know, sometimes you can be attacked from the front where you see it coming, sometimes from behind where you don't see it coming. Uvitzel Kenafecha Tasdirenu. Please protect us in the wings of your shadow. Because you are a Shomeru Matzilenu. Hatzala here means just save our life. Enable just basic survival. Shomer, protect us. That's not the optimism you have in the morning. That's not the notion of Geula. Because you relate to God psychologically, you relate to God emotionally from a different perspective at night, the tefillah reflects that. That's the difference. That's the difference between the Birkas Kriya Shema, specifically that bracha, the third bracha, that is associated with the Hashgacha, with providentially the relationship between God and the Jewish people. Not so much the existence of God, the knowledge of God, the covenant with God, but through the providence. That's where it changes. And that's why you have the extra bracha. Now, the Gaon does not have the minhag to do this, but other Ashkenazim, they have the Yud Ches Psukim. The 18 psukim, since we said Maariv was not a chiyuv, they took 18 psukim that related to different aspects of our relationship with God, and they put them in. Really, the section of Birkas Kriya Shema ends with Shomer Amo Yisrael La'ad. God is the Shomer, protect us, going to prevent terrible things from happening to us. Shomer, that aspect of the Hashgacha. Then we have the Yud Ches Psukim, okay, which is a kiyum tefillah. It's not an amida, but it's a kiyum. It's reflective. That's why it's 18. Have a chatzi kaddish, because there's a gap between the shema section and the amida. And then what? And then you have the amida. We are not today going to go into why that intense smichas gula letfila, that immediate juxtaposition between talking about God's providence as a goel, as a redeemer, then from there you go right into the modality of the face-to-face, of the rendezvous, of the engagement with the Almighty. That's in the morning. At night you can have the gap. You can have the 18 psukim. You can have the chatzi kaddish. You have a gula richta. It's not Ga'al Yisrael than the Amida, because the nature of the gula, the nature of providence at night is so different. So then you have your Amida, Kaddish Shalem, the complete, you know, the final Kaddish, because you've now that you've had that face-to-face, that dialogue, where you've engaged the Almighty, and you remember, every tefillah is not just about acknowledging what God is, acknowledging our relationship with God, asking for our needs, expressing our gratitude. You know, that's part of, that's definitely part of what an Amida is, that's part of what tefillah is. But the bracha in the Amida of Ritzei, what does Ritzei teach you? That it's a korban that we've offered. It, the experience of going through the catharsis, the experience of organizing priorities, the experience of looking at who and what I am, ma chovasi ba'olam, what is my obligation in this world, the experience of what is my responsibility, my commitment to my God, to my people, to my family, to humanity, etc. My responsibility as a business person, as a professional, my responsibility as a spouse, all of that, that in itself is a korban. What does korban mean? From the word karov. That in itself brings a person closer to God. Because you take your life more seriously, you take your life in a way where you're not lackadaisical, you're not arrogant, you're not callous. You take your life in a much more responsible, in a much more responsible way. And therefore, what I would say is, because of that, because your Amida, it's a korban that you've offered to the Almighty. What happens? We ask that it be a worthy korban, that we didn't ask for things that are ludicrous. We didn't ask for things that are actually not advantageous, but are negative or destructive or disjunctive, that we didn't fail ourselves, fail those who were responsible for. You know, hopefully it was a worthwhile, meaningful growth experience, and it was an experience that was sincere. So tiskal b'tzlos hanavusam, please God, we hope that it was acceptable to you. We hope that it was worthy and it was acceptable to you. That we say that after every amida, that's kaddish tiskabel. And then what? The minag of aleinu. And again, how do you understand aleinu? Is it the completion of the or you say, no, the completion was Kaddish Tiskabel. What Aleinu is a statement as we now move into the world, as we now leave that face-to-face rendezvous and go on to the next aspect or next dimension of our life. Is Aleinu a conclusion or is it an introduction or a beginning of the next stage? That debate as to how do you understand Aleinu. But what is Aleinu? We've said this in the past. Aleinu, and this is important, it is the last four words of Kriya Shema. Hashem Elokeinu is the first paragraph of Aleinu, right? Our reality is that God is our God. He is a master. He defines the world. We work within that world, within that moral world, within that theological world, within that physical universe. You know, that is the context of our existence and how we function and what we are bound to and responsible for. But ultimately, Hashem Echad. It won't just be unique to us. Ultimately, v'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz b'yomahu yieh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. The second paragraph is not just Hashem Elokeinu, as Rashi says, us versus them. It's Hashem echad. Be'atid, in the future, over everyone. All of humanity will conduct themselves that way. That is our desire, that is our yearning. Al kein nekava, that's what we yearn for. So the minhag of saying Aleinu at the end. What we just did, and I'm sorry we did it in a short, brief fashion, because we analyzed the Amida, we analyzed the Shema, but what we wanted to show is what is a basic encounter with the Almighty. That's what a mincha is, an ashrei, to prepare ourselves, to set ourselves up and set the tone, and that's why the Rambam says you should sit for ashrei. You sit, and then the community stands up and becomes a tzibor engaged in avoda. Whether you're davening by yourself, b'yachid or b'tzibor, you sit and then you stand up for the ashrei, for the amida. You have the kaddish beforehand, it's the bridge. The amida itself, tachnun, which is what we spoke about. It's not just the ava relationship, but it's the yira, the sense of awe and reverence in your relationship. It's the complete package of the encounter. Then kaddish tiskabel, should be acceptable. And then there's a minhag of aleinu. That was mincha. The key that we talked about in Maariv is you don't need Ashrei because you have the themes of the Shema as your prelude. You have those ideas that you discuss, that you analyze, that you think about. But the key is really the third paragraph. The third paragraph ends up being two paragraphs, two brachos. Not just one bracha, but two brachos. Because the nature of Hashgacha at night, it's a different emotional, it's a different psychological reality. And therefore, our engagement has to reflect where we're coming from. It has to represent, you know, the perspective of what we're coming from. That's Emes V'Amuna and Hashkiveinu is the prelude, you know, so not as the prelude, I'm sorry, as the reflection of Geula. Yetzias Mitzrayim being the classic example. It's the example par excellence of how Geula works. That's reflected in Emes V'Amuna and Hashkiveinu, the Chatzi Kaddish. Many of the minhag to say the Yud Ches Psukim. The Yud Ches Psukim which has a kiyum tefillah. It's representative, even though there's an obligation to daven. If one's not davening, we have this yud ches psukim. Gaon does not. He views it to be a hefsek, to be interruption. It's not something that Chazal mandated, and therefore it's an interruption. And then you have the amida itself. Kaddish Tiskabel, it should be worthwhile, it should be acceptable, and Aleinu. That's the Mincha Mariv structure. Thank you.